back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Rod Oram. How are you, Rod?
Good morning, Rachel. Very well, thank you.
It's lovely to have you back on the show after a couple of weeks. We've got a lot to talk about as well. Certainly heaps happening in the world at the moment. We're going to talk a bit about the UN Climate Summit, the state of the New Zealand economy and the government's economic plan, and a little bit about the state care inquiry, which is going on at the moment and has been, you know, a bit of a messy topic maybe in the news as well. But let's start by talking about the UN Climate Summit. So the government, and especially Jacinda Ardern, has been under quite a lot of immense scrutiny in the last few months, and she did several speeches at this summit. What do we think that this is sort of saying, I guess, about how she's positioning New Zealand's commitment to kind of climate change?
She's taking out a very good position and a very ambitious one. So she made a number of interesting points. Amongst them was that each country has some strengths and weaknesses on climate change in terms of their ability to respond, and that we in New Zealand have various strengths. But some examples would be in the primary sector and in electricity and in forestry. But we also need technology help in many other fields, say, for example, in our light vehicle fleet to transition that to electric vehicles. And therefore, she was making a very strong call for countries to be very open to share, to trade in that, and thus particularly being able to trade goods, services and technology very easily. So that's a useful point to make. Of course, what that needs to translate to here in New Zealand is getting through an ambitious and comprehensive climate change bill, which would be the zero carbon one, which sets up the really important framework that over the coming decades takes us on that journey, just as we see exactly how the UK has done that over the last 11 years very effectively with exactly that same sort of structure. But of course, the huge political challenge she has here is that National is absolutely dragging its feet on this, and particularly led by its very conservative farming members. And I thought it was extremely rich of Simon Bridges as opposition leader to criticize her in her meeting with Trump for not raising climate change issues, when she spent most of her time talking about a free trade agreement with the United States. But that was a completely hypocritical thing for him to do, because if he'd been in that meeting, he would have been after the free trade deal. National is contributing next to nothing on the national debate on climate. And he's hardly a climate leader to suggest to her that she should have tried to take on, you know, the world's preeminent climate denier. I thought that was a ridiculous cheap shot on his part.
It's actually, it's quite interesting, because obviously we've got this new long-term target to become carbon net zero by 2050. Do you know if we've kept the same interim national commitment target that was set up under the national government? It's been criticised a lot by groups like Greenpeace for not being enough. Do you know if we're still using those parameters?
The government is staking out more ambitious ones, which is exactly what the big fight is in the bill, and that particularly is about the longer term, the 2050 commitment on methane. One of my favourite topics, and we should devote a whole programme to that, so I won't dive down into that particularly intense and complicated issue, other than to make the point that food and farming around the world is under enormous ecological pressure. It's doing a great deal of damage. In aggregate, land use changes for farming, and then the farming itself is the greatest single driver of climate change. And so that's why we're seeing intense debate about changing of diets, changing of farming systems. And currently, our farmers are consoling themselves that they are relatively low greenhouse gas emissions compared with some of their competitors in other countries. And therefore, consumers will still keep coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm arguing to them that their greatest opportunity is actually to be at the forefront of that very considerable transformation. The world's people will still eat dairy products. They will still eat red meat, but they've got to be farmed in very different ways.
Mm.
And I'm afraid that's just a message that our agricultural sector is completely resistant to. There are some, there's a few individual leaders in there, but that's not the the mindset. Actually, today is an important day because in about an hour's time, 8:30. Fonterra will be announcing its latest results, but crucially its new strategy, and it's going to be incredibly important to see how much emphasis it puts on these ecological issues around farming as to in that new strategy. It's putting a new emphasis on the provenance and the quality and the reputation of New Zealand milk, but it needs to take one more leap, which is to understand that to reinforce that that leadership in this very fast-changing world, they're actually going to have to be a leader on farming transformation too.
That's going to be really interesting to see, indeed. Around 8:30, did you say? That'll be certainly
That's when they announce all that to the stock exchange.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the New Zealand economy. Of course, the government's unveiled their economic plan a couple of days ago. What's this plan sort of saying, I guess, about the way that they're trying to take the economy?
It's outlining eight themes. I won't run you through all of them, but some of them are going to sound very familiar because we've been talking about them for years and not getting very far, about moving the economy from volume to value. But there's more emphasis than in past governments, for example, on utilising our land and resources to deliver greater value and improved environmental outcomes. And then an eighth one is transforming our housing market. It is very thematic, but behind that is then a list of programs on each of those themes that the government is pursuing. And then behind that is that's tied into how success is measured under the living standards framework and how that then ties into the structure of the wellbeing budget, of which you've had the first, I hope we'll have more. So there's a clear architecture there, and it's basically a way for the government to say, look, we are being coordinated, we are being coherent, this is what we're working on. The biggest problem that business keeps banging on about is the government is not delivering. It's not, Kiwi Build has had all sorts of problems, you name it. But I think business requires to be a little bit more realism. This is far more strategic, far more complicated, far bigger changes than National ever attempted. At the end of its first term under the Key government, literally government economic policy was on a series of large sheets of paper, which eventually became the business growth agenda, which very narrowly focused on six ingredients that would make business grow more. Very generic things like innovation and skilled working places and things like that. And that's pretty much as far as National got in 9 years of government. That became a bigger structure, all sorts of detail, but it was never strategic and never about fundamental change. This is. And so I think business is giving government far too hard a time on this. They need to push for more delivery, but to understand this is complicated. But then when we look at the New Zealand Herald's annual Mood of the Boardroom survey out this week, it showed that business was saying it's lost a lot of confidence because of the government's failures to deliver much so far. And again, when you look down at other parts of that analysis, you see that actually the focus for what keeps them awake at night is not the government, but a whole bunch of things about their own business. But I think what we see always is that business is a far harder marker of the Labour Party than national governments. But if you look at the US economy, the British economy, the Canadian economy, ours and Australia, this is a proven fact that those economies have grown faster under left of centre governments than they have under right of centre governments. But it's in other countries, it's possible to be a senior person in business and a clear Labour Party supporter, but it seems to be impossible to have that diversity of political view tied into the culture and the community of the senior business leaders in New Zealand.
Well, just before we run out of time, let's just touch very briefly on the state care inquiry, abuse in state care that's been going on. And it's been in the media a lot for not necessarily very positive reasons. There seems to have been a lot of hiccups and then sort of just muck-ups as well, basically. And we've seen it recently in the news for having had a person with paedophilia convictions attending meetings and things like that. Do you think that this whole state care inquiry is being handled well, or do you think that we do really need to radically be looking at how we could change this?
Look, this is an intensely important subject, my particular interest in this is how church institutions have performed in this. As a member of the Anglican Church, I'm very keen to see that great clarity, great justice is done there. So there's an awful lot about the structure that is good. But there's clearly a lot of operational procedure on this Royal Commission, kind of more than in any other subject, that needs to be really perfect and really excellently done. And that seems to be what's happened here. It's a dreadful, words kind of fail me, but this incident has happened. But I can just see how people haven't thought that through, that, a support person's in the room. Who is that support person? What's their background? So obviously there will now be a great deal more care exercised all the way through this, which is absolutely essential.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rob. We really appreciate it, especially after a couple of weeks as well. It's lovely to have you back on the show. We'll speak
to
you.
Well, thank you. It was wonderful being in the UK, seeing a country having a nervous breakdown. I say that only from a professional point of view rather than personal one.
Exactly.
That just gets even more bizarre.
I know.
But anyway, it's lovely to be back. Thanks, Rachel.
Well, thank you so much, Rod. We'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
You certainly